Let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Am I going to have to break out the tape? It works in school. I don't have to use duct tape. Just clear strapping tape works just fine. Well, duct tape, same idea as duct tape. Turn on the tape. Isaiah. We are in Isaiah now that we're past all the tape stuff. Isaiah chapter 6. Actually, we're supposed to be in Isaiah. I'm still not there either. Good to see you back, Mrs. Hirsch. You too. No. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll start where we left off last week. Verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed.'" We were talking a little bit last week about Isaiah and kind of, you know, you think we got it tough sometimes, which I guess we do. But imagine, you know, the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" He's kind of asking for somebody. Isaiah steps up, says, "Here am I, send me." And that's a great example, great attitude. We like it that way. And then you look at what he's told to go say. Okay, here's your message. Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. All right, go tell them that keep listening, but you're not going to understand this. Keep listening. They're not going to perceive it. Keep looking, not going to understand it. Render the hearts of the people insensitive. Their ears dull, their eyes dim. You know, unless they see with their ears. You know, it's like, here you go. Here's your message. Okay, everybody, listen, but you ain't going to get it. You know, and I'm sure that if you've done many Bible studies, that you've experienced that. You've met lots of people that, yep, the heads are nodding. They're going up and down and up and down and up and down. And it goes up and down so hard and so fast that it flies out their ears and they didn't get any of it. Just kind of, you know. That's pretty much what he says Isaiah is. That's Isaiah's thing. Now, ultimately, he's not saying it so much for Isaiah. I mean, it does, you know, kind of like we've looked at, you have your primary meanings, you have your secondary meanings. This one actually does have secondary meaning in reference to the people at Isaiah's time. I mean, he's going to get out there and he's going to preach and nobody's going to pay attention to it. It's not going to make a dent in their skulls. But ultimately, it's talking about the times of Jesus. It's talking about the New Testament times because it's quoted so frequently. Jesus quotes this very frequently. Let's go over to the first time he talks about it. Actually, not the first time. The first time that I want us to look at. Go over to Luke chapter 8. You know, I told you the number of times that this is quoted in the New Testament, and then this week, as I was running through the Bible reading program, I hit another time where it's quoted just like a little part of it. Jesus quotes a little part of it. So we get to add that one in too. But it is frequently quoted in the New Testament, meaning specifically that was the time that it was intended for. But the fact is, it's going to have an application for the whole time, throughout time. What we worked on some last week was the whole idea of why Jesus spoke in parables. You know, why did he use parables to talk to the people? Okay, so in Luke chapter 8, is that what I wanted? Yes, verse 9. You know, Jesus tells the parable of the sower, and then in verse 9, it says his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Part of what we talked about last week and the examples that we looked at was Jesus, in speaking in parables, he was talking for those who would ask more questions. You know, we looked at how Jesus is teaching in parables, and, you know, most people would have just looked at it and said, well, that's a nice story. Kind of talked about the whole entertainment thing and how that was, you know, story time was their entertainment time. So they're listening to it, hearing a nice story. But those who really, you know, the disciples, in this case, his disciples began questioning him as to what the parable might be. What's the meaning of this? What's it mean? And so Jesus was putting things in parables for those who would look further, for those who would ask the questions. You know, being a supervisor in school, one of the things that is probably very, very high on my list of important things is the students being able to understand the work that they're doing. You know, any of you who are familiar with the ACE system, it is possible to do what they call in Ghana, chew, pour, pass, forget. That is, you read it, you write the answers down, you take your test, you pass it, and then you forget everything that you memorized for it and all. It is possible for students to actually go through and get the right answers and actually do well on tests, but not really understand what they did, not really understand the material. So that's one of the things that I work on, is making sure that they understand. And sometimes it drives them crazy, which is good. It's kind of the same thing. And I work with the students some on this idea, is if you read something and you don't understand it, ask the question. What did this mean? Help me understand this. Still a rather new concept. I don't know if it's new to them, but it's something that they're still, you know, it's a whole lot easier just to see the little goal card and want to cross off that goal as opposed to figuring things out. But still, the idea is the same. You know, that's what Jesus is doing too. He's putting the parable out there and everybody can listen to it. But it's the people who are going to stop and go, okay, there's something more here. I don't know. He told a story about this sower and sowing his seed, but I think that he's trying to get to something else. And so his disciples actually come and they question him, saying, you know, what's it mean? What's it mean? Well, Jesus' answer here is, he prefaces it with, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You guys get to know, but to the rest it's in parables, so that seeing they don't really see, hearing they don't really understand. They don't get the point. Okay, now we'll come back to why Jesus did that a little bit later, but notice that he's teaching for those who are going to ask further. Everybody else, they're just going to have a little entertainment time, but for those who will ask further, they're the ones that are going to get it. So here it says the disciples were questioning him. Okay, now go over to Mark chapter 4. And one of the things about the Matthew, Mark, and Luke are those three Gospels pretty much run from beginning to end fairly chronologically. They're also going through a lot of the same things, covering a lot of the same things with a little bit different emphasis from each one. But one of the great things about having those three Gospels, to humor you there, Connie, the one Gospel expressed by three different authors, one author too, but, you know, three different men writing them down. Are you happy? but having the three different guys writing these, what you come up with is a lot of times you get a little bit different details, a little bit different information. You know, and so sometimes you get to put it all together and you get to learn more by making that comparison. One of the best times I had was last year or two in Ghana. we started into the New Testament. We were working through the Gospels and in our midweek study, and was just kind of putting all of them together, kind of trying to go through as chronologically as we could and pulling it from all four Gospels as we got to it. And that was one of the more interesting studies that I'd had a chance to do, because it allowed me to see things that I hadn't noticed before. Well, here's an example. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to, again, you have the parable of the sower. And then you have verse 10. You have Mark's account of the gospel. Mark 4:10 says, "And as soon as he was alone," he's just told the parable of the sower. Says, "As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables." Do you notice anything? See, in Luke, it said the disciples. Disciples can be a very ambiguous term there. It could be just anybody who's following Jesus. It doesn't specific, you know, you got the apostles and you got the disciples. Well, a lot of times when you see disciples, you know, automatically your mind shifts to the 12. Oh, it's the 12. They're the ones that are getting it. But here it says his followers, and literally those about him. So some of those, it seems like there were more than just the 12, because it says along with the 12. So you've got the 12 apostles plus some more people, some of the others, who are asking these questions. So it's not just, you know, this wasn't specifically that he's given this, you know, that you apostles, you get it special. This isn't one of those cases. This is you who are willing to ask the questions, you get it special. You get the explanation if you ask. And it was going to be for anyone. So in this case, you have some followers along with the 12 who are asking the question. So they ask him about the parables. And again, verse 11, he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." Now, the idea is those who are going to ask the questions to find out more and to get the actual meaning of these things, well, they're eventually going to get the chance to return and be forgiven. Those who don't return, don't get forgiven. But again, it's those who are willing to look a little bit further, those who are willing to ask the questions. Now, let's apply this a little bit. You're here today. You're sitting in the assembly. You're sitting in this class. And you listen to the preaching. Well, what are you going to do with it? You know, you're just going to like, "Oh, okay, yeah, Steve said this. Or you're going to get into the main assembly. Jay said this. Or you're going to be like the Bereans and go, you know, I personally love a message that I hear something that I kind of go, is that right? You know, I'm not much of a head nodder. I figure head nodders are not too much different from those who are asleep. It's just that their eyes are open. You know, those who are asleep, their heads nod and they stay down. The others, their heads are nodding, but there's nothing going in. You know, I'm not much of a head nodder. I'm a questioner. You know, that's what Jesus is looking for, is people who question, who are listening and going, you know, prime example, Acts 17. Flip over there real quick. Acts 17:11, the noble-minded Bereans. Now, 17:11 says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness." If you put a period there and just stop, then you got your head nodders. They receive the word with great eagerness. Yeah, that's great. We love it. But it continues. It says, "Examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They weren't taking Paul's word for it. Now, as you all, I am sure, have no doubt about, I am not inspired. I'm sure that that's not a question at all. But I will also add to that, J. Wilson is not inspired. Hopefully you figured that one out too. There are some people who haven't, so that's why I have to say that. And in case, you know, somebody pointed this out once and said, you know, well, look, at the first page of his book, he says that he's making mistakes. No, he doesn't say that he makes mistakes. He says he's a man that could make mistakes, and so you check it out yourself. So I don't think he would have any problems with me saying that he's not infallible, you know, that he's not inspired. Check it out. That's what God's expecting. That's what Jesus was expecting the people who were listening to him. He didn't want a bunch of head nodders. He wanted people who were going to go, You know, so that's why I say my favorite message is one that kind of makes me go, you know, makes me stop and makes me, you know, that I go and check things out. I loved it here a few weeks ago. I was teaching something. I don't remember what. And I was told this happened. I didn't even notice. I was very much a man at that point in time. I had no clue what was going on around me. And I was told that Les got up and went over and got a dictionary and would open it up and was checking things out. You know, and there are a few people. Did anybody else notice that? See, we have a few people who notice. But, you know, that's great. Those are the kind of things that I love. Something that makes it stops and, you know, I got to go, So I'm glad that I made Les go, and he wanted to check it out. But that's what God, Jesus was looking for from his disciples, even, was he was looking for people who would stop and really look at things. And it didn't matter. It wasn't just the 12. It was any of his followers, any of them who were listening that would afterwards. I mean, it says you put the accounts together. They came immediately. They went right to him. You know, he teaches it. You know, the picture I get is he teaches this thing, kind of walks away. Okay, told the parable of the sower, you know, heads into the house or wherever. And you know, you got these people going after him. Hey, wait, hold up a second here. What did that mean? See, those are the kind of people that Jesus was looking for. That's what he was expecting out of people, was those questioning minds. Jeff Hostetter has tried to work on the students there in Ghana. At least when we were there, he talked about being a walking, talking question mark. You know, walking, talking question mark. Rain. Whoops.
Okay, I'll find the little fluffy ball. Okay. Anyway, if you're not careful, you're going to give a complex to all the good head nodders that are out there who actually get this stuff. Secondly, I would like to, share something with you on inspiration. Let me see here. Now I got to find it again here. Oh my Lord. Okay. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, it says regarding inspiration, but just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see to it that you abound in this gracious work also.
So we are inspired.
We are inspired. Woo! Yeah. Wendy's got it for me here. Thank you. We are inspired. What I say this morning is as inspired as it sticks to the Word of God. I'll go that far. So, but that's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for those walking, talking question marks. He's looking for people who are paying attention and who are not just accepting everything that's coming in, but they're questioning it. Is this really so? And willing to go back and check it out. Now, I'll give you, Rain, that if somebody's saying something that you've already checked out, then that's okay to nod your head. It's okay to agree with something that you have already checked out. But if you haven't checked it out, don't nod your head. Just kind of go, I'll have to check that out. Okay? All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're at the first part of the chapter, verse 10. And here's where you get the lengthy version of it. And the disciples came and said to him, sorry, did I say verse 10? I'm not sure if I told you that or not. Okay, verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, again, right after the parable of the sower, they came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, what you have, you know, Jesus, in one sense, he's pointing out the significance of that particular time. You know, he said, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Again, why are their eyes seeing? Why are their ears hearing? Because they're asking the questions. You've got a whole group of other people that we'll see a little bit later why they're not seeing it. But he says pretty much, you know, they're not getting it. But, OK, so these disciples, followers of Jesus, plus the apostles, the 12, they're getting it because they're asking the questions. So he says, you see, he says, are blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. But in verse 17, he says, truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it. In their case, it wasn't because their hearts were hard. In their case, it was because it wasn't time yet. You know, there were a lot of the Old Testament prophets that desired to see what these guys were, at Jesus' time, were seeing. What he's explaining to them. They wanted to see it. They didn't get a chance to see it. They wanted to hear it. They didn't get a chance to hear it. So you got about three different groups. You've got the old guys that were no longer around that actually really wanted to understand this stuff, and they really were the walking, talking question marks, but it wasn't time for them. It wasn't their time to get to know. And then you've got the people who are walking, talking, what, periods? Exclamation points? I don't know. You know, walking, talking people who are just, they're not paying attention, and so it's just flying right over their head. And then you have the people who are asking questions. Now, do you notice in all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this follows the parable of the sower. Comes right after the parable of the sower in all three accounts. So let's back it up a little bit in Matthew and look at that parable just for a minute. Not much more than a minute, but okay, a couple minutes more than a minute, but not too much longer. Okay, parable of the sower. Scattering the seed. Seeds falling on the different kinds of ground. Falls on the hard path. Satan comes and snatches it away. Falls in the rocky soil. Sprouts up really quickly. Sun, the pressure comes. And it the sun comes out. It's gone. Falls in the thorny soil. And they sprout up together. The thorns and the seeds. The thorns choke out the seeds, and so they don't bear any fruit. They're still there, still hanging on, no fruit. And then finally you have the good ground sprouts up and has a nice harvest. Right after telling that parable, when they're asking, explain this to us, this particular parable, he says, okay, well, first of all, here's why I'm teaching in parables. And then he goes and explains the parable, but he's talking, you know, The bulk of the people are falling into that hard ground that they're seeing, but they're not getting it. Three-fourths. That is, you know, and you could maybe say that the thorny soil did kind of get it. They kind of understood what was going on. You know, you could maybe make a little bit of a case that the rocky soil got it for a short time. You know, but whatever the case, they didn't get the really big picture, and they didn't stick with it. Okay, so Jesus is that his little quotation here is also explaining the parable of the sower. That's part of his explanation. Is, you know, I'm speaking in parables, yep. And mainly that's going to be so that those who want to get it will get it. Those who don't, won't. Now I think there's some other reasons. Let's go over to Mark chapter 8. This is another time when Isaiah 6 is quoted. Partially. This is the one I ran across this week and went, oh. Okay, in Mark chapter 8, you've had some amazing things going on. You've had the 5,000 have been fed. Later on, you get, you know, the 4,000. You know, and those are men plus women, children. So a lot more than that are being had a chance to eat. Not being eaten, though. Were you going to? Good. I'm glad you're questioning. Glad you got the question mark going there. So they've eaten all this food. And then after this, Jesus and his disciples are in the boat crossing over. And let's actually go from verse 14. It says, and they had forgotten to take bread. This is Mark 8:14. They had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. You know, and other accounts say that they actually, you know, they're thinking that he said this because he's kind of pointing out that, hey, you guys messed up. You didn't bring enough bread with us here. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? See, and there's your quote, by the way, verse 18. And do you not remember when I broke the loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? And I like this because he waits for the answer. You know, it's like sometimes when, you know, when you're working with people, sometimes we make too many assumptions. Sometimes we assume that they're really tracking with us. Like maybe right now I'm assuming that you're tracking with me and you might not be at all. But sometimes we assume that people are tracking with us. And so that's why in a Bible study, you really want the other person, you want their mouth running too, because going from what their mouth says is going to let you know how much of what you're saying is getting in. Okay. So, and sometimes you've got to let people actually say things for things to sink in. So they said to him, 12, verse 20. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, seven. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? You know, and then if you look like over in Matthew's account of that and all, it says that then they realized that he was talking not about bread, but about the teaching of the Pharisees and all. So then they got the point, but, you know, he had to kind of slow things down really slow for them. And then it kind of went, oh, that's what he was saying. Okay, so, you know, it's okay to slow things down for people sometimes. And sometimes when you're working with people, you're going to think, this is so slow. But just keep in mind that once upon a time, there was somebody working with you that went, this is so slow. So it's okay. So backing it up here. When he quotes that, though, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Right before that, he says, do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? See, when he's speaking to people in parables, why were they not coming and asking questions? Well, he says it's a hardened heart. If they weren't getting the point, he was saying that you're having a hardened heart. That was where it was leading to. So the whole thing about, you know, seeing and they don't see and hearing and they don't hear, and, you know, the whole thing is a lot of those people that he was dealing with, their hearts were already hard. That hard ground. You know, and the seed just, boom, it's hitting there and the birds are coming and snatching it away. So, you know, so if he gives out, you know, what's going to happen. I think this is where I wanted to go there. No, let's get one more verse and then I'll head there. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to start from the last half of verse 36. Last half of verse 36. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. See, Jesus played hide and seek. Hide and seek, it's a biblical game. There you go. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them. Okay, now, there's your quote from Isaiah 6. Again, though it says, verse 37, though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. Verse 39, for this cause, they could not believe. So Jesus is doing these signs. They're not believing it. Verse 39 says, for this cause, they couldn't believe it. Here's why they weren't believing it. It says he's blinded their minds. He's hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes, perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them. Well, you put that with Mark chapter 8, where we were just looking, that Jesus is saying, are your hearts hard? Why were they not believing it? It didn't have anything to do with what they were seeing. It didn't have anything to do with how clearly Jesus could put it out there. It came down to the condition of their heart. It was whether or not they wanted to get it. Did they want it? If their hearts were hard, it wouldn't have mattered how clear Jesus did. You know, even all these signs that he did, it didn't matter. He said some of them still weren't believing. See, sometimes it's not, and that's just a side note. When you're studying with somebody, a lot of times you might want to get a little tense. Oh, I've got to do everything perfectly here. And that's not to say that we don't want to try to improve our skills in working with people. But ultimately, you know, you're not fully responsible. Really liked a message I heard from Rick many, many, many moons ago. And that's not saying that he was around many, many moons. If I heard it, then, I mean, of course, I heard it via tape, so maybe. Anyway, the message that Rick spoke about, where he talked about Bible studies. Now, I'll see if I can get this one right, Rick. He said, in the Bible study, you've got three different people involved. You've got yourself, you've got the guy you're studying with, and you got God. Okay, God's guaranteed to do his part. And even if you only do, you know, so that gives you, what, 33 and a third. And even if you do a halfway decent job, okay, God's guaranteed to do his part. If the other person wants to learn, that's another 33 and a third for you. That's 66 and, you know, two-thirds. Thank you. 66 and two-thirds. Yes, I do teach math, too. And he said, even if you do a halfway decent job, you're still passing. Unless you're in an ACE school, and then you got to do a little bit better than halfway decent. But, you know, still, it works. You know, and the point that Rick was making in that is, you know, the whole burden isn't on you. You've got to get out there and you got to do your best, yes. But ultimately, the other person is responsible for what they bring to the study, and God's going to, you know, he's responsible for what he brings, and he's going to make sure he brings his good stuff. So you bring the best stuff you got, and the other person brings the best attitude that they have, it'll work out. Well, that's what, let me see if I can get this first. It's going to be either, is it Matthew? Give me a second here. I hadn't intended on bringing this in, so I've got to make sure that I know where I'm. No, it's not Matthew. It's going to be Mark. Answer. Okay, not answer, but yeah, it is Mark. Mark chapter 4, and we'll get Ken's question. I won't say it's an answer.
It says he has blinded their hearts and he hardened their heart. So rather than them having their own hardened heart or dull or insensitive heart, God caused them to have that?
Yep, he did it. It's all his fault. I knew as I read that, Ken, that wasn't going to go flying past you. Ken and I are involved in a study on Thursday nights with a guy that is really working through this whole who did the hardening, kind of predestination, kind of what's God doing, what do we do kind of thing. So I knew that one was going to jump out at him. So we might have to save that one, Ken. Where was I going? Mark chapter 4. And earlier on in Mark chapter 4, you have the parable of the soil, or in the sower there. But in verse 26, Mark 4:26, this is one of those things that gives me great encouragement as I'm working with people. Verse 26 is, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows, and how, he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You know, you kind of combine this with the parable of the sower and the different kinds of soils. He says the guy sows the seed, goes to bed at night, gets up, and suddenly the stuff sprouted up. You know, it's one of those things where when you're teaching people, you're sowing the seed. Whether it's going to grow or whether it's not going to grow, you don't always know. Okay, you never know. And when it sprouts up, you kind of look at it and go, wow, how'd that one happen? You know, it usually doesn't happen the times that I expect things to happen. You know, I remember, you know, I'd study with people, and I remember a question I asked Mr. Wilson when I first started studying with people. I said, what happens when you get to the end of God's plan of salvation and the person doesn't make the decision to become a Christian? What do? You know, because I thought that, you know, okay, you get to the end of it, they're ready to go for it, you know, and what if they're not? You know, and that's one of the things, you know, but then in the same sense, you know, sometimes I'd start with somebody into proof, and before I knew it, you know, we're not done with proof yet. What are you saying you want to get immersed here? Wait, no. You know, sometimes you just don't know. Because, as he puts it here, the soil produces crops by itself. Well, the soil is the person you're dealing with. Ultimately, they're the one that determines the type of soil they are, and they're the one that determines whether the seed that you're sowing is going to sprout up, and the time frame in which it's going to sprout up. Or whether their heart is hardened. Thank you, Ken. I knew you'd get there. Whether their heart is hardened or, you know, they have that choice. So the people, when Jesus is talking, when they're not believing in him, you know, sometimes it's even some of the signs that he did, you know, he did all these signs and still people weren't believing. John chapter 12 said they weren't believing because their hearts were hardened. So that's why they didn't believe. So it wouldn't have mattered how many signs he did. It wouldn't have mattered how clearly he had spoken. So why did Jesus speak in parables? Go to John chapter 6. Jesus is still speaking in parables, but this time he gets a little bit more clear with his parables. And we're not going to go through all of John 6. This is right after he feeds the 5,000. He jumps in the boat, he puts the apostles in the boat. They start sailing across. He sends the crowd away, goes up on the mountain to pray, and then goes walking on the water to get over to the other side. Next day, everybody gets up. Hey, Jesus is gone. How did he get over there? He's gone. The apostles are gone. Let's follow him. They show up, and Jesus says in verse 26, you know, I love it. They ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And he doesn't even answer their question. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Okay? You're not, it's not that you believe in me, it's just that you're, you know, you got satisfied last night and it's morning time and, you know, it's time for breakfast and you're looking for where's our next meal? You know? So he, you know, I like, you know, a lot of times we work on being very tactful and you want to deal with people tactfully, but sometimes there's just, there's a time to catch, you know, avoid all the tact and go get right to the issue, you know, straight cut to the chase. Is that what it's called? Yeah, that's the thing. Cut to the chase. I got to get my American sayings down here. But cut right to the chase. And he just says, you're here because you want food. You know, of course, they pretend like they're not, like there's something else they want. And so he talks to them about the bread of life and being, you know, that he's the bread of life and goes through all that. You know, and he gets to the nice things about verse, like down in verse 51, John 6:51. He says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Okay, you guys are hungry. Here's what you get to eat. My flesh. There you go. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Okay, they're getting grossed out. You know, they wouldn't even eat a pig, much less a human being here, but he's getting to them. And so he explains it some more, but he's speaking fairly clearly at this point. I mean, it's still a parable, still talking about bread, but he's getting a little bit more clear about things. Verse 59. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Notice it's many of his disciples, not just the casual listeners. These are real people following around. They've been listening to him for a while. Many of them are saying, who can listen to this? So Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, I'm sorry, let me tone it down a little for you. Oh, oops. He said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? You know, and then he just kind of cranks it up a little bit on him, speaks even more clearly and gets right down to the nuts and bolts of things. And the answer, you know, and he says, there are some of you who don't believe. That's in verse 64. And the result of this then is verse 66. It says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Well, because most people couldn't take it. Most people, I mean, they would have branded him a lunatic long beforehand if he spoke so clearly from the very beginning. So he, in some ways, he had to keep things a little bit veiled. And he wasn't ready. As things kept going, as he performed more and more signs and wonders, and he spoke more and more clearly, the hatred for him got greater and greater and greater. So what Jesus, in some ways, you know, the whole parables thing is just to kind of keep, you know, the people whose hearts were hardened, it was to keep them there and to keep them off his back for a little while until it was time. But for the people who really wanted to know, they'd come and they'd ask. You know, so now, you know, do we need to speak in parables all the time? No, we can be clear with things. But just remember that when you're being really clear about things, you're going to, you know, it's going to do a little bit of sifting and sorting, and you might actually get some people who don't like you very much. And they might actually get angry with you. That's the result. Okay, let's get the last verse here. Oh, do I want to get the last verse here? Okay, we'll get the last verse, and then I want to make one more point next week on this before we head into the new stuff. And that is Acts chapter 28. This is the other time. Acts chapter 28 is when Paul shows up. Very interesting thing, how he shows up in Jerusalem. You can check it out, but I think the shipwreck, you remember how he had this major shipwreck and all? I think that was God's way of getting Paul to Rome before the bad reports about him could get to Rome. Because you look at it, you know, the wind pushed him right up close to where he needed to go. So I think he got there earlier than he would have if they'd stopped and harbored where they're supposed to harbor. You can check it out and see if you agree with me on that one. But anyway, so he gets there, and they said, you know, he calls in the leaders of the Jews. They said, we haven't heard anything about you one way or the other, but we would like to hear about this Christianity stuff you're talking about. So, not that they call it that, but they set a time, verse 23, and when they had set a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. Let it be known to you, therefore, that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. And when he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. In this case, Paul is no longer speaking in parables. The parables are gone. He's speaking it clearly. He's going from the law of Moses. He's going from the prophets. And he's going from morning until evening. I'm thinking that would have been an awesome message to listen to, by the way. And I kind of think that Romans is part of that. But he goes from morning till evening, preaching, you know, going through and just explaining this from the law of Moses. And he's talking to Jews who would have known their law. He's going, see this stuff here in the law? Okay, this is how Jesus fulfilled it. See these things in the prophets? This is how Jesus... I mean, that's a proof that the Bible's a Word of God booklet in expanded form kind of thing. You know, it's just an awesome presentation it would have been that he's going through with these guys. And, but it says some were being persuaded by the things, but others wouldn't believe. They would not believe. This time he quotes it not because they weren't getting it because it wasn't being spoken clearly. It's still, you know, this case it was totally spoken clearly. It's just that their hearts were hard. And so the people weren't getting it because of their hardened hearts. So Jesus had to speak in parables, I think, mainly to kind of protect himself and to make sure things happened not earlier than they needed to happen. That his death happened at the right time and not a year and a half beforehand as they drug him out and stoned him. So, you know, I think in all of that, he's trying to kind of preserve momentum, work on the whole momentum of what he's doing. But for those who would ask the questions, those who would check it out, they were getting the full message. They were seeing the things that people had never been able to see before. And the same thing's true for us. If we will be those walking, talking question marks, if we will check things out, if we will dig into it and really see, are these things so, then we're not going to be those who are not perceiving, but we're going to be those who turn and are converted, or turn and are forgiven, sins are forgiven, and continue to be.